You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. There are approximately 3.6 million cases backlogged in the U.S. immigration courts. These are cases of people slated for seeking asylum. Some of them are moving towards deportation. But that caseload is going to take even more time to work through after the Trump administration fired a number of immigration judges and others in the U.S. immigration court system. This comes as reporting tells us there could be a flurry of expedited deportations coming up soon, ramping up. And there's also other reporting that says President Trump could soon invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. That could happen as soon as tomorrow to target and remove undocumented immigrants. To tell us more about what's happening with the immigration court system, we're joined by Isabel Diaz. She is a reporter for Mother Jones Magazine, and she has been covering immigration. And Isabel, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So we would think that we would be seeing resources shifted to the immigration court system to beef it up to try to remedy this under the Trump administration's promise of mass deportations. But why? We're seeing the opposite. What are we seeing?
Right. You know, when I was working on this article about the firing of immigration judges, a lot of the people I talked to, they pointed out exactly that, you know, irony or that even that hypocrisy in having an administration whose, you know, central policy is mass deportations, and that is instead firing the very judges who are responsible for, you know, presiding over removal proceedings. I think it's important, you know, for context to say that immigration judges are not, you know, what you would think as the traditional independent judge. They are employees of the Executive Office for Immigration Review, which is the branch of the Department of Justice that oversees the immigration courts. And again, they are a critical piece of the system. They are responsible, you know, every year, this about 700 or so immigration judges across the country, they will decide essentially whether thousands, hundreds of thousands of immigrants, if they are allowed to stay in the United States and maybe receive a protection like asylum, or if they should be ordered deported. And as you can imagine, they are this critical piece, a key piece in the very deportation machine and apparatus that the Trump administration is hoping to max out in pursuit of their mass deportation agenda. And what we have seen is from day one, you know, they have started this shakeup in the immigration courts, and started by firing several senior officials. And then on February 14, which was a Friday and Valentine's Day, they fired 13 immigration judges. And what those judges had in common were they were all part of this new incoming class. You know, they were in the probation phase still. And they were all appointed by the Biden administration. You know, they didn't even have the chance to listen, to hear a single case. You know, I actually talked to one of the fired judges, Carrie Doyle, who you would think would represent exactly the kind of person that, you know, the administration would want in a position of deciding over the fate of immigrants. You know, she was someone with decades of experience in immigration law. She had, you know, been the top legal advisor for ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And she had been appointed to this new court in Massachusetts that just opened last year to alleviate the backlog of the Boston Immigration Court, which had 160,000 cases pending. So she was, you know, very much needed. And instead, you know, even before she could hear a single case, she was terminated, and without very, you know, a lot of explanation, she and the others only received an email that said that, you know, retaining them was no longer in the interest of the agency.
So we're looking at this and wondering, like, what is going on? What is happening here? It looks like the Trump administration is trying to blow up the immigration court system.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, One has to wonder, right? Because as a result of these firings, and those 13 judges weren't the only ones. Other seven other managed level supervising judges were also fired. And as a result of all these firings, as many as 10,000 cases will no longer be heard this year, because we know that each immigration judges hears anywhere between 500 and 700 cases a year. So we are talking about dozens of thousands of additional cases that will just add to the pile of the backlog you described. And I think, for our listeners, might be interested to know that Texas actually has the second largest backlog in the country. If I'm not mistaken, the courts in Dallas and San Antonio actually have the worst backlog. We are talking about 500,000 cases just waiting to be resolved. And again, these are people seeking asylum, but these are also people who could, be deported faster if the
Right, but
system
we have a
was
series of laws, a system of laws.
right.
So if we have people who are seeking asylum, who and then they go into the immigration courts, and then those asylum cases are heard, and the judge will decide whether or not there is an actual case, or are these people being persecuted back home? Are they at risk of if they get sent back? So this is a process here. And to suddenly blow it up, does that mean we're going to be doing these mass deportations, these immediate expedited deportations, where we just start loading people on buses and sending them across the border?
Yeah, I mean, one possibility is that, the administration might try to replace the judges and the employees they have fired with people who they think might be more aligned, with the White House priorities. So perhaps people who would be, more default to deportations. But, something that I kept hearing as I was, doing interviews for the story was that there is an expectation there will be more mass firings and reassignments. And, that could suggest that the administration, is intends on essentially bypassing the immigration courts and the backlog of the immigration courts and rely on this tool that is called expedited removal, which allows immigration officers to essentially summarily deport people without them having an immigration hearing. And the Trump administration has already expanded the scope of this tool. It traditionally used to only apply to recent border arrivals within 100 miles of the border, and the Trump administration is expanding it to basically apply to anyone in the interior of the country who cannot prove they have been in the United States for at least 2 years. And there has been reporting by the Washington Post showing that they would like to also use this fast track deportation to apply, to people who were paroled and allowed to come to the
Paroled,
U.S.
not in its criminal sense, but the people
Right.
who use immigration parole to come into the United States under the system. So they're here,
Exactly.
they're not here illegally. They're in the system, but the issue is that there might be people who say, well, they voted for Trump, thinking they wanted mass deportations. They're waving those mass deportation signs at the Republican National Convention, chanting for that. This is what they voted for. But we know in the past that when they've did these immediate removals, rapid deportations, that it's a dragnet and they just scoop everyone up. And frequently they're American citizens who get scooped up and deported.
Exactly. There are a lot of concerns, that arise from the use of this fast track deportations and the sweeping dragnet that doesn't allow for, people to have a day in court, to have access to representation. They are just turned around and sent back and often denied a chance to even say, if they fear for their lives, which then would prompt an asylum hearing for them. And so I think it, while this might not apply to directly to many US citizens or people who are not, in the immigration system. I think it's in, you know, if we all would hope that if we were in a similar situation, that we would have, you know, our right to a fair day in court for that to be, you know, respected and enforced. So in that sense, I think it should concern everyone, you know, that this administration might be defaulting to just sending
So it's a
people
sloppy
back.
process
Right.
and not giving people due process in which they should be entitled to. That's why we have set up immigration courts. Although people may argue that it's not working, look at the 3.6 million cases that are backlogged. Well, then maybe you should be hiring more people and not firing people, or maybe you need reforms or other things need to be put in place. But right now, it seems like they're trying to create a system where it implodes. We're going to take a break. We'll continue our conversation with Isabel Diaz, a reporter for Mother Jones, who has been covering immigration. What does it mean that the Trump administration is talking about invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 and also moving towards these rapid deportations? You can call in if you've got questions or comments. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Taking a 1 minute break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Five immigration judges were recently fired across Texas. This means at least 2,500 fewer cases will be heard each year. It's going to increase the backlog that we have in the federal immigration court system. And as of last week, 42 of the nation's 700 immigration judges have been fired or have agreed to leave since Trump took office in January. Without them, some 10,000 deportation hearings will no longer be heard this year. It seems like the Trump administration is trying to weaken the immigration deportation system rather than strengthen it. What is behind that? We're joined by Isabel Diaz, a reporter from Mother Jones, who has been covering immigration. Let me ask you, Isabel, about this Alien Enemies Act of 1798 that is being reported that Trump could, as soon as tomorrow, invoke this act in order to expedite deportations. And basically, this act, which has been used in the past only during times of war, the primary target is going to be this Tren de Agua, the Venezuelan organized crime group that is operating in the United States. He's going to be using that as a pretense to invoke this and do mass deportations, particularly targeting people who are from Venezuela. What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, another indication of the extraordinary lengths that this administration is willing to go towards delivering on their very ambitious mass deportation agenda. You know, they've been growing frustrated with the pace of deportations, and Trump seems to be unhappy about it. And so they need to look for tools that would allow them to just, you know, deport, I guess, as many as 1 million people a year, which is a really high number. And so the Alien Enemies Act, like you said, is this wartime statute that was used during World War II, and it was used in the context of detaining citizens of Germany, Italy, and Japan. And it basically allows the administration to detain and locate and deport anyone that they would consider to be from hostile nations. And the Trump administration seems to be interested in applying this statute to argue that immigrants from countries that have, you know, gangs or drug cartels, that those would qualify as hostile to the United States and the hostile state actors, and engaging in an invasion of the United States. And so they would invoke this act.
But
to
I just
try
point out that, you know, the United States is not at war. We're not at war with Venezuela. We're not at war with Mexico, even though we have all that military now piled up on the southern border. He will have a fight in the courts whether or not he can use the Alien Enemies Act in order to achieve this mass deportation.
Absolutely. This will inevitably trigger legal challenges. And I think the other thing, when I talk to experts about this, is this also would create, diplomatic crisis. Like you would have the White House essentially declaring war to all of these different countries that they would like to target, people who are from those countries for deportation. So
yeah, they're talking about Haitians, Venezuelans, Nicaraguans, and also Ukrainians for mass deportation.
Absolutely. So yeah, this would be really an unprecedented move, and I think we'll have to see how they implement it. But I can't imagine it won't be immediately put to the test in the courts.
So, I mean, what would this expedited removal, fast track form of deportation without due process, would that just be something that, that is easily done, or are there laws to prevent that?
The Trump administration, the first time around, they also relied on expedited removal, and they expanded the use of it. And at the time, it was like many of the policies, the immigration policies, it was challenged in court. And the ACLU is already challenging this time around the expanded use of expedited removal. So I think, it might be the case that the courts might intervene and not allow for it to be fully implemented.
Isabel Diaz is an immigration reporter for the Mother Jones magazine, giving us an update on firings that are happening at the federal immigration court system, the firing of judges, how this would slow down the process, the due process, and whether or not this means we are going to be seeing a flurry of mass deportations without due process. Isabel, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, David.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
Why do you turn to Texas Public Radio every day? Is it for the in-depth analysis of local issues, the fact-based reporting on national events, or perhaps the diverse perspectives that challenge your thinking? I'm Catherine Marr, the CEO of NPR. Whatever your reason, Texas Public Radio has been there for you, providing reliable news and thoughtful programming. Today, we're asking you to be there for us during this fundraising drive. Your crucial support allows TPR to maintain its editorial independence and serve as a beacon of fact-based reporting in the Lone Star State. Be part of our mission to keep our community informed and engaged. Donate online at tpr.org today.
And I'm David Martin Davies, and I'm sitting in the studio with Rebecca Cavan here, talking to you about how public radio is a big part of your life, and we would like you to step up and become a sustainer, a supporter of Texas Public Radio if you haven't already done so. We do need you. If you're thinking to yourself, hey, self, they don't need my $5 a month, but actually, self, we do. We need you to become a member of Texas Public Radio. It would be awesome. It would be cool. And you would also be doing the right thing, supporting something that you actually use on a daily basis, and also supporting something that other people use who don't have your means. This is a community, and we need community support. Give us a call right now, 800-622-8977, and thank you.
And here you go again, Dave, diving into yet another critical issue, deportations, immigration, court backlogs, impact of these recent firings of judges in Texas. The system is stretched so thin, and the situation is only getting worse. These stories, they matter. And so does the work we do here every day to keep you informed. Our team at TPR is dedicated to bringing you the latest updates on complex issues like immigration, but we need your support to continue our mission. If you believe in the power of local journalism, please consider making a donation. Call 800-622-8977 or visit our website now. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you. We need all of you giving more, giving what you can, and helping to make this happen.
You know, I think about our donors all the time. They're never far from my mind. I think about them every time I walk in through the door. I say thank you to the donors. I know that we would not have this wonderful facility. We would not have these transmitters. We would not have the means in order to do the reporting. We're always thinking about them, particularly sometimes when stories require that extra effort, you know, and you have to like, okay, well, you know, let's do it. You know, people gave us their hard-earned money for a damn good reason.
That's
so
right.
Let's go earn that. Earn that trust that they put in us. So we don't take it lightly. We take it very seriously. It's part of the equation of every time we make a decision around here, what would the members want? How do we serve the members? How do we serve the listeners? It's not a one and done and forget it thing for us. We want it to be for you, but for us, it is a constant gratitude that we have for the people who support Texas Public Radio. We really know that we can't do this without you, each and every one of you deciding $5 a month, a dollar a day, or whatever works for you. It works for us, but we do need your support, and we will always be grateful and thankful for your sacrifice to keep Texas Public Radio strong. And call now. We do need your support. 800-622-8977. Go online to tpr.org or use your handy-dandy smartphone app and donate now button. It makes a huge difference. We need you to join the club.
And speaking of gratitude for some of our donors, I have a couple people to say thank you to. I want to say thank you to Sharon Davis in San Antonio for her sustaining support of the programming on Texas Public Radio. We also appreciate a donation from a listener who says, I love that I can stream TPR even when I'm traveling throughout Texas. Keep up the good work. And I also want to say thank you to Gilbert Vara in San Antonio for your donation to KSTX in memory of Joe Gwathmey. He says, thank you to Joe, a gracious man who tirelessly served our community. Thank you also to the TPR family, which continues his legacy.
One of the vocal warm-ups that we've been taught to do is, hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
You know, that's trying to open up the windpipes and get it going. And I always think about Joe Gwathmey when I do that vocal exercise. I don't do it every day. I should do it every before I go on the air. But, yeah, that is one of the, hi, Joe. Welcome, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
He had such a distinct voice, and thinking about the impact he had on this community and making all of this happen,
and
how lucky we are. And not only that, the legacy that he's left and what he has built and the sense of pride you feel in helping to carry that forward. You can be a part of that great feeling by donating right now. You can call 800-622-8977. You can use our TPR app. You can go to tpr.org. It's really easy. It's just a couple of minutes, and it's such a great feeling once you're done.
When I was a young whippersnapper over at KSYM at San Antonio College, before it was a music station, this is at the time when Gene Longworth was still in charge over there, and we would run education tapes that we would get from University of Texas at Austin, and the reels, it was reel to reel, and the reels were orange, like the, you know, burnt orange. And he was running that Longhorn Radio Network at the time, and we would run those lectures on the air, and small things grow and they become good things. And thank you, Joe. And call in 800-622-8977. 833, that's the wrong number. 800-622-8977. Thank you.